Inner Love Radio. I'm Michelle Morovati. During the next 55 minutes, my intention is to support you to awaken to your true self in the present moment. On today's show, I will be sharing with you one of my insights from my book, 101 Transformational Insights for Mind, Body, and Soul. But first, followed by my special guest, Michelle Miche. Michelle assists others on their life path as a spiritual life coach, transcendent healer, and transpersonal therapist. Her life enhancement coaching focuses on self-development and spiritual integration, meditation, and breath work. Michelle also facilitates seminars and retreats in the United States and Europe. She's the author of a series of transformational audio CDs and the creator of the Alpha Theta Process 5-Step Emotional Clearing Process. I'm looking forward to hearing all about that. Michelle is also the author of Meditation for Everyday Living book, as well the host of Awakenings radio program. Her website is www.selfinlight.com. www.selfinlight.com. But for now, I would like to share with you one of the insights called, interestingly enough, Spiritual Awakening. Here we go. Spiritual awakening is the call for the day. When I wake up spiritually, it feels so good. It feels like God is present. That is because God is always present. But only when I'm attuned can I really know this presence. Do you ever feel this way about being spiritual? Maybe there are times when you just want to scream at God and blame God for all the wrong things that are happening in your life. How about blaming God for all the chaos in the world? This is the easiest way to release our responsibilities to God, right? Do you ever sit and cry your heart out to God and plead for a better and easier life? Do you? Have you? Do you know anyone else who has? And what was the reply? Hopefully the response has been good, one of wisdom and awareness. When we decide to wake up and know ourselves as spiritual beings, living in a physical world, our whole perception will change. I'm clear within myself that I'm a spiritual being, a being born of light, the light of God. So it feels good to recognize this truth. It is a very empowering truth. I'm not just a happy hour wherever I am. I'm more than what I can perceive with my physical eyes, open or closed. The question is, how can I improve my life? How can we all improve our lives? Let us all wake up to this very easy understanding that we are spiritual beings. Our spirit is loving, kind, compassionate, strong, vibrant, wise, joyful, charismatic, expansive, and so on. When we recognize this truth of who we truly are, then the doors to all good, all grace, start to open up within and without. Step by step, moment by moment, a true recognition of life shall reveal itself in a very meaningful way. Why such dedication to this topic, God? Because when we recognize God, we recognize ourselves. When we recognize ourselves, we shall feel and know ourselves as whole beings. Isn't this all that truly fulfills us? To be whole? To be complete? To be grateful for all that we are and all that we have is to be one with God. One with the oneness, one with all that is. Let us all wake up to this truth today and every day to release any and all separation from our birth parent and allow God and the divine to carry us with him, her, or it, to live a very promising life in every way. Spiritual awakening is manifesting this light to create good within and without. Remember, we always have conscious choice. Let us all choose beliefs that create wholeness within. I invite you to take a deep breath now. And I invite you to extend your humble gratitude to this wonderful God and all that there is, to the whole universe for being supportive under all conditions. And with this I say, and so it is, bless you, for we are all one. And now I am so grateful and honored to invite Michelle Miché to our show. Michelle, hello.
Hello, Michelle. I'm in such a yummy state after your reading. It's amazing.
Oh,
thanks,
Michelle.
You said it all. It's wonderful.
It's so interesting. As I was meditating before, you know, which insight to read, it was so interesting. As I opened up my book, this one came up. And then I was like, you're the host of the Awakening Radio program. And actually, I wanted to ask you to share with all of us about your own awakening and all that you have to share.
I definitely will. Thing is, and one of the reasons that the show is called Awakenings is what I've realized in my, you know, travels on the spiritual path or being on a conscious spiritual path. I say conscious because we're all spiritual beings on a spiritual path. We're not necessarily all conscious of that. And some of us, the light workers, have chosen on a vibratory level, if you will, have come in with a DNA encoding that prepares us to draw down more light or bring in more light, more awareness, more love, more wisdom, and share and teach, just like what we're doing now. So there's really a succession of awakenings. It's almost like the sacred spiral where we awaken. It's like kind of when you wake up from a sleep, you know, at night.
Mm.
You wake up and maybe you stir a little bit and maybe you sigh, you know, maybe you yawn. Maybe you look outside to see what kind of day it is. So there's a succession of awakenings. And just like the infinite, the all that is, the almighty, it's the awakenings are infinite.
Mm.
We become more and more awake, more and more and more enlightened, more and more aware. And so that's why the show Awakenings. And I've looked back on my awakenings. I, you know, came into this world, this dimension, if you will, with the gift of psychic awareness, awareness of people. You know, I just thought it was normal. People on the other side, spiritual beings, you know, a deep connection with God. I felt continually God's presence. And I would say around age 4 or 5, and this is what my parents told me, that I would be talking and saying things and people would just be listening to me.
Mm.
And even in preschool, that they had a little, some kind of little, they called it a soapbox, that the kids could get stand up on and talk. And my parents said, you know, you would be up there for, you know, an hour or two, and the kids would just be looking at you, listening. And I remember saying, what was I saying? Because when we come between, you know, for our birth till about age 8, you know, especially around 4 or 5, we're so unfiltered. We're so still so connected to the spiritual realm. I thought, my God, all my wisdom was at 4 and 5. You know, what was I saying? You know?
Yes, yes. I totally get what you're saying. And then we're conditioned, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
through socialization and et cetera. So I just knew. I talk to spiritual beings, you know, I would know what was going to happen to someone. I was giving these little, you know, predictions in my own way. It may be someone was going to be ill or someone's pet was going to die or, you know, someone's, you know, boyfriend, they were going to break up or whatever. You know, it was relatable to, you know, a small child and adolescence and then my teenage years. And I thought everyone had this kind of experience.
Mm.
I remember at age 14, I was reading books on astral projection because I started having these experiences where I saw myself out of body and sometimes couldn't get in body, like to pick up the phone, to answer the phone, or, you know, I thought I was sleeping, but I really wasn't. I was just out of body a lot. And I thought everyone had this, you know, so I started reading and studying and,
so Michelle, and your family was supportive of your psychic abilities?
They listened to me. They didn't, and years later my dad just said, you know, honey, you were different. We didn't, you know, no, and I was, I just came in this way, you know. And interesting enough, though, my mom, later I found out, she was very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And she had books on Edgar Cayce and some other spiritual books that I later found, but we didn't really talk about it. We talked about it when she later on, she got cancer and ended up crossing over, which I assisted in with that. And she then she more opened up. We talked about things like the silver cord and crossing over. And actually, when I was 11, I had a visitation from the Virgin Mary in our house, and no one could walk through the path where this light being had emanated her presence, her energy presence. And I remember telling my parents, and they didn't believe me. And then, well, they didn't. It's not that they didn't believe me. They said, "Oh, yeah, you probably had a dream." And I said, "No. All I want to know is why isn't anybody walking through this doorway? Everyone keeps walking around." And they just looked at me kind of stunned.
Wow.
Because where she was for that 3, 4, 5 days, she appeared once to me at night, but for 3, 4, 5 days, no one walked straight through the doorway. They kept walking around. They would literally curve their body around to avoid where the emanation had been present.
Mm-hmm.
So they said,
"That's awesome."
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Ooh,
yeah, you know. So I had my own little, my own little world, and then I did, kind of regular things that people, do, teenagers and such. And then I would say probably in my somewhere in my early 20s, well, I studied meditation, studied, teaching, healing, psychology. I worked with children. I've had a very, kind of vast path. And then I got involved in modeling and acting, which was wonderful. I love that, travel the world. And plus it gave me time to take time off and study and go deeper into my spiritual practices and spiritual understandings. And around that point, I had met a woman I was studying with, and I said, "Oh, I want to develop my psychic ability to help people. I want to, really hone it." And she said, "Worry about yourself. Work on yourself first." So I had some really good teachers. So I took that to heart, and I had like two lives. I had, well, to me it was one, but people on the outside would say, you're living this life of, modeling and acting and flying all over the world and traveling and magazines and on television, and then you're this healer.
Yes, I was just going to ask you, incorporating the two worlds together.
It's all the same, though.
Yes.
It's all the same. And when I would go, I didn't care if I was, it was fun. I liked to show up on the set. Invariably, I would end up talking about psychology, spirituality, awakenings. I don't care where I was. I was the one on the private yacht everyone would come to, and we'd end up saying, "Oh, I had an experience. Can you tell me about this?" Or, "Oh, you're psychic?" So it didn't matter what I was doing.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I don't ask people, a lot of people say, "Well, who are you?" or "What do you do?" I tell people, "You're a spiritual being." Now we can talk about how you want to express that energy. But you're a divine spiritual being. Don't ask yourself, "Who are you?" There is no identity crisis. There's just roles. I wasn't a model. I was a divine spiritual being and a spiritual emanation of light expressing as a model, as an actress, as a teacher,
Well, that's beautiful that you knew that at that time, that you're a spiritual being, and now you're not a physical, beautiful being. By the way, there are several men looking at your picture on the website, and they're like, "Wow, she's gorgeous." I just want to put that out.
Thank you. Well, the spirit, the package. It's all packaging, though, The packaging helps. I mean, it helps for certain things. I definitely know certain people have listened to me or certain audiences because there's anything wrong with wearing a turban, but I don't necessarily look like someone that would have these types of gifts or this type of focus in my life, Some people say, "Oh, you do that or you're into that?" And it's like, yeah, what else is there? What is there? Yeah. Well, then I had, and you talked about the spiritual awakening, and I keep saying it's a succession. Well, I had, and there's an intense one. There's always a time on the path. I always say spirit gives us the candy, the little sugar, and then we're enlightened and aware and love, and it's all blessed be and wonderful. And that kind of gets us on the, it's the sugar, gets us the honey. Then towards one in my path, I was doing the modeling, acting, and I was happy. I had both. I had both very happy, very successful. And then all of a sudden, in the late, I would say early 90s, it all kind of came to a little screech. And I wasn't getting booked on the modeling jobs. I was actually on a list with some of the companies that I worked for as overuse, do not use, we've used too much. It wasn't just me, it was other models.
Mm.
And right around that time, I started being awakened every night at 3 a.m., and I would do automatic writing from 3 to 5. And then within that day or that week, I would meet people, and I would have answers for them. I would see who I saw and envision in the morning, and I would end up giving them some information, or I'd take a class, or I'd go somewhere. And then the next day or that night, you know, early in the morning, I would wake up and I'd have all this information for them, and I'd hear this voice, you need to tell this person.
Michelle, for those of the listeners that don't know what automatic writing is, can you give us a definition for it?
Absolutely. Well, for me, because I'm a, what you call, I do channeling, which that can come through as, it's really for me everything. I just get in this open, receptive state, and whether it's clairaudient, clairsentient, I hear messages, I feel them, I see things, receive visions. And a lot of times I will just start writing what I receive, actually on a just regular legal size, you know, yellow paper.
Yeah. Is this like meditation, what you do?
Well, you're in, you know, it's very interesting that you mentioned meditation, because you do, it's a, but it's a very, yes, it's in a very expanded awareness, which really to me that's all the meditative state is. So when we're doing meditation practices, it's about being in that meditative state. The truth is, when we're in that meditative state or that state of oneness, if it's a, and again, it's different levels of that, but if you're in a very meditative state or really expanded state, you can see, like when I do readings, I can see somebody, you know, I do them by phone, I can see sometimes what that person looks like. I can definitely see their energy, or I can see where they live. Some people call that remote viewing. Well, when I started doing all this, there wasn't all these terms. There was just, you know, channeling. That's what my guide said. You're channeling. You're opening to the light, and whether it's for healing or information, it doesn't matter. And I would just begin writing. And it's coming from a more expanded space or state. It's not coming from my surface or conscious mind, my rational mind, because I don't know these people, so how would I know anything about them, you know?
Yeah.
And it does kind of just take over. You just start writing. And then I would hear this voice, you need to tell this person. At first, I was like, oh, no, mm-mm. I know I'm gifted, but I'm not going to be a nut. You know, I'm not going to call people and say, you know, I have this information for you. I heard this voice or something.
And why would you have to do that? Why would you have to tell them? For what purpose?
Well, that was my whole turning point. See, I didn't really know at the time what was happening. I had been visited by this group of oversouls called the Spiritual Hierarchy. I mean, they literally came in my room, you know. I could see them kind of very light beings. And they were giving me information on people. Well, that started me on a whole new path. Now, mind you, while this was happening, all my big modeling job, everything was dwindling.
Mm.
And this happened for 2 years. And then I realized why. What happened was I became in such a ecstatic spiritual state I probably couldn't have done, because it wasn't yet integrated within me. I probably couldn't, you know, just as I'm talking to you now, they're coming through. I'm just now getting the reason. I never asked the reason why. Oh, I'm almost getting teary-eyed.
Mm.
I wouldn't have been able to handle doing the other more material-based, even though it's all spirit, but, you know, that other type of work. Now that we're talking, I could see that. Because I was so in that state all the time, and it's almost like it didn't turn off for a while. And people started being sent to me. I started doing readings with people all over the world. It just happened. It just started happening. Or what would happen is when I got information for people and then I would end up telling them, they would say, oh, my God, I've been praying for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or how could you know?
How can you describe the law of attraction into what was taking place at that time?
In what way? What was being attracted?
Yeah. How were people attracting you to them, and how were you attracting this information?
Well, now remember, a few years earlier, I put out the call that I really wanted to use this gift to help people. A lot of times people think when they have these kind of awakenings that came out of the blue, but on some level there's a call, because spirit never puts us to work you know, and I say that in the sense of being of service, unless we're called, but we have to answer the call. It's not like the call is there. There's a lot of people I've met that have been called, and they're not up to it, or they haven't handled their stuff. And see, that one woman, that teacher that I worked with, said, handle yourself, handle your ego. So I did a lot of counseling, a lot of therapy. You know, I'm a big proponent of emotional clearing work, because if you don't do your inner work, if you don't study, you're an unclear filter. And I know we've all been to, you know, a psychic or a healer, that they're getting their stuff in there, and you can just tell it, you know. And so to me, any teacher, any guide should be guiding you to your own inner knowing and your own development. Because I work with a lot of people that I don't necessarily agree with, but it's not my path. I'm not there to agree with them. I'm there to assist them in their path and process. So I put out that call, and boy, it was answered. You know, years later. And via the law of magnetic attraction, you get that which you're resonating towards. So I did happen to, and I still do, I happen to work with a lot of people in the film, TV industry, a lot of execs, celebrities, red carpet people that are on the red carpet, all that. I work with all kinds of people, but I do have a lot of people in that sector, that arena of the world, just because I've come from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be that that resonance, you know, and they would be having their own awakenings or challenges and need answers to. You know, one woman that I ended up working with, she owned a metaphysical bookstore, and I had taken an astrology class with her. And the next morning, I got 3 or 4 pages of information on her, and the voice kept in my head, just call her. You got to give her this information. She needs to have this. And I didn't want to do it. I procrastinated all day because I didn't want to seem like a wacko, you know.
Right, right.
You know, calling up someone, telling them. And especially people that are very either high profile or, you know, in a position like owning some kind of store like that, it could seem as some kind of, you know, come on. Finally, I think it was about 4:30 in the afternoon, I said, okay, I will do it. I took the voice. And I called her. And Jan, I remember her name, Janet. And I said, I prefaced it, this may sound odd, and I said a little bit about my background and what I do, and, you know, she remembered me from the class. I proceeded to give her all this information, and she said, she was blown away. She said, this is highly confidential stuff. How could you have known this? She said, you couldn't have known this. And I said, no, I guess, no, and I don't, because I don't know you, and there's no way I could know this. And some of the stuff was some legal. She said, well, I'm so glad you called me, because I was about to leave to go out of town and I wouldn't have been back for a week, and the information you're giving me is very timely, she said, and I've been praying. That seemed to be the key, Michelle. A lot of people would tell me, I've been praying for this.
And you're their messenger.
Yeah, that's all I am. Yeah.
You're their messenger.
But Michelle, they put the call out. See, they prayed.
Yes. Just for me to reintroduce you, for the people that have just listened in, we're talking to Michelle Miche. Michelle assists others in their life path as a spiritual life coach, transcendent healer, and transpersonal therapist. And Michelle, what's your website again?
It's www.selfinlight.com, and that's INLIGHT. So it's like the self is in light. We're already in light. We're already in light.
Michelle is telling us about her fabulous life journey, life story, awakenings.
And the messenger.
Messenger.
You know what's happened? Oh, my God, Michelle, another synchronicity, because that woman's last name happened to be Messenger.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is so. I'm just, 2 questions have been answered as we're talking. And what ended up happening, she ended up referring all these people to me, because I didn't realize it, but even though she was an astrologer, she was a diehard skeptic of psychics or channelers or that whole world. She's very, and a lot of people don't realize, a lot of astrologers are very left-brain. They're very analytical, very scientific, and she happened to be one of those. But from that, the door opened. I mean, it was just like all of a sudden I went in this, you know, other direction, just, you know, healing, doing the psychic, you know, mediumship work, working with people to help them connect with people that have crossed over. I mean, it was just, that was my world, and it lasted about 2.5 years. And then again, working with these oversouls and getting this information for people, you know, writing it down, giving it to them. And a lot of them were sent to me. After a while, I'd know they were coming, just, you know, intuitively, psychically. I would have seen them, and then they would be coming to me.
Mm.
And then I was...
How did you prepare yourself for them coming to you? I mean...
I would get in a meditative state and ask basically to just bring through the truth. Let me either facilitate a healing, let me be of divine service,
mm-hmm.
just let me be open. Basically to just get out of the my own way is really, that's, and I think that's for all of us, you know, just in life, and especially if you're trying to develop your intuitive capabilities or become more psychic. I mean, that's the sixth sense, so everybody is psychic. As far as being a medium or a channel, you know, that's maybe not everybody is going to have that or do that. You know, I always say it's like playing piano. I can only play chopsticks, but there are those people that are amazing pianists, you know, like a Mozart or, you know.
And you're talking about being in a meditative state. You've written a book on meditation. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and that came from... really a call from my clients. I think my whole life has been spirit-led. I've lived an amazing life, traveled and lived all over the world. But it's always been, I just hear a call, and then I answer that call. And if I hear it a few times, because I want to make sure it's not my ego.
Knock, knock.
Exactly. Then I go, okay, that's what's needed. That's what's going on.
Mm.
Well, what happened was I work with people that, you know, they're flying on private planes all over the world, going to here and there, you know, this actor, this actress, this, you know, TV mogul, da-da-da-da-da. And here I'm trying to explain to them about meditation. They're coming to me for transpersonal therapy. They're coming to me and saying, you know, I need to distress, I need to tune in, I need to feel my spiritual nature more. And over and over and over, Michelle, they all said, I can't meditate, I can't do that, I can't do that, or I don't have that kind of time, or, you know... It really came to, and I at the time was meditating 2.5 hours in the morning and 2 hours, 2.5 hours at night. But I had the ability and the taste and the hunger to do that. That's my life path and purpose. So for me to expect others to do that, I began to realize isn't really realistic. But then I also began to realize that it's more about living in this state. It's not really about just in the morning and then, oh, I can't wait to get home to meditate just at night. Why can't we live in this state all the time? Because that's our true nature. That's our true state. So my clients began saying, I wish you would write something. They'd say, you know, I don't want to read these books that talk about all this, you know, Sanskrit, or I don't want to become a Buddhist, or I don't want to know where this came from, or all these, you know, hard to spell names and sound names. They said, I just want to know how to meditate. How do I get in that state that you're in all the time? How do I get this peace and calm? How do I do this? So I went into meditation. I just became very receptive, and God said yes.
Mm. Now, some people mistake being in a meditative state all the time by being zoned out all the time. And the question comes up, how can one function when one is in a meditative state?
Yeah, you're so right. Oh, God, Michelle, because people think it's, I call them bliss bunnies, that it's about no problems, everything's fine.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, there's all this anger seething in them that everybody sees them, you know. No, when you're in that meditative state, you have the awareness of the oneness. So I can be upset or angry or disappointed, or, you know, right now I'm working on releasing some attachments that, you know, I realize that they're not a big deal, but in my path, it's like, you know, less is more, less attachment. But I still have that complete self-love, self-acceptance. I have that feeling, awareness of that oneness, and I feel very peaceful, calm. There's a tingly, too, to the meditative state, because you're tapping into a higher frequency or more expanded frequency, because it's a more expanded awareness, so you do feel lighter. So sometimes it feels kind of dual or schizophrenic in a way, because you can feel, oh, I'm a little nervous, or I'm a little this. You can feel that, but then at the same time you can just relax into. There's choice, I think, Michelle, also, in the meditative state. When you're in the meditative state, there's a choice to know oh, I feel a little anxiety, or I see that, or I wish I had a little disappointment on something I didn't get, okay. You look at that, but then there's that choice, you have conscious choice that I don't have to hang out there. I don't have to have it bother me and completely, you know, bring me down, you know. And even if that happens, you're still one. It's awareness of the oneness and living in that.
Yes, and I know that you talk about that there is no one position to sit or stand in meditation.
No. There's so many forms of meditation, walking,
yes.
Open eye, you know, just grounding meditation, forgiveness meditation. There's like Thich Nhat Hanh practices a lot, the Tonglen meditation. So those are meditation processes where you're visualizing maybe, you know, breathing in the anxiety or the worries of the world and breathing out peace. You know, it's very conscious. The thing is, too, because where you're only tapping into your true nature, I mean, yes, there's formal meditation and sitting a certain way, having the spine straight. I mean, all that has its place.
Mm-hmm.
Lying straight, down in Shavasana and relaxing, mindfulness. You know, there's so many types of meditation. Dhyana, being aware, Vipassana, being aware. Having breath work, you need to have the breath, the pranayama, the breath awareness or control of the breath. And what is the breath? It's just the life force energy.
Mm.
An awareness of that. But I also feel, and I know actually to be true, and if you look over time, for a spiritual practice or practices or a religion to really thrive and flourish and the people to use it, it has to be updated over time. You know, you keep the basic principles, you keep the foundation, but there needs to be slight, you know, honing, slight refining. You know, 6,000, 8,000 years ago, we didn't have television or, you know, the BlackBerry and all that and, you know, Xbox. In fact, in my book, I have a whole section on that. It's called Unplugging to Plug In.
Beautiful. You also have a meditation audio CD, correct?
Yes. You know what, actually, I say the book and the CD really go together. The book really goes in depth of, it has the meditations in it too, but your spiritual practice, self-development, there's processes in there. I have a chapter on, you know, the four afflictions of the mind, the three afflictions of attitude, what blocks us in our path, and also processes to do with the meditation, and also a way for people to make the meditations their own. And then the meditation for everyday living, it's short meditations because the idea is I don't really want people to learn my meditations and do my meditations. I want them to use my meditations so that they can expand or expound on them and make them their own or create their own ways of tuning in. So they're very basic, and that's how I was taught in the traditional sense. Meditation is done by repetition.
And how can the listeners get a hold of your book and your wonderful CD?
The book is on Amazon.com. The CD, either through CD Baby or iTunes. Actually, if they just put in my name, Michelle Miche, you know, MichelleMeiche, or the website, theselfandlight.com, all the CDs will come up. There's just various sources where they can either get the download the MP3 or get the actual CD. They can go to my website, too, and that will take them to some of these locations also if they're interested
Michelle,
in that.
I'm so interested in learning about the Alpha Theta process, five-step emotional clearing process. This sounds very, very interesting to me as I was looking through your website. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that really, again, hearing the call, the five-step emotional clearing process is using that alpha-theta state to repattern. So it's really about shifting our beliefs. What I found, how that kind of developed was early on in my practice when I was doing a lot of healing work, I was also doing a lot of emotional clearing and past life regression, other dimensional regression, you know, whatever your belief system is on that. But just to clear emotions or patterns that block. Now, I was able to do, because being psychic, I was able to see what people were, what incidents or what situations or what emotions were blocking people. And then I would basically, through this processing work, lead them to the original cause of something or the original block, original issue. And they would be able to clear it and just, I mean, had amazing, amazing, profound transformation in their life. But I thought, okay, I can do this because I'm intuitive. I can see where they need to go. I really want to develop something that others can do. I'm really big on others' self-transformation, that you come to teachers or guides or mentors for their sharing, for their teachings, but eventually you have to make it your own or use the tools yourself.
Yes.
So around at that time, I was really researching. I thought, how can I do this? And again, I put the prayer out, the call out. I really want to do this, God. I want people to have this tool because this is what stops people and blocks people. So right around that time, I started studying transpersonal psychology, hypnotherapy, alchemical hypnotherapy, transformative hypnotherapy, medical hypnotherapy. I really dove into that. And what
you really dove into all of it.
Oh, yeah, you've got to. You've got to.
There's
all the different modalities of it. And what I realized, though, that it all is the meditative state, which becomes that alpha theta state.
Yeah.
Hypnotherapy, healing, it was all the same. If I was doing a healing on someone, it was that same state. So I went, aha, now I've got it. If I can put a system together, codify it, put a system together that I can give others a way to get into this state, which also is meditation. You need to have the breath. You need to have breath control. Slow the breath down, because as you slow the breath down, you slow the mind down. You calm the mind. What I also found out is there's only two times that a decision really sticks in our life. This is why cognitive or just regular talk therapy really doesn't work, because it doesn't have enough juice. There's not enough vibratory energy to shift a pattern just by talking about it. The two states are if you're in a really ecstatic state or a really traumatic, depressed state, like, I'll never do that again. How many, you know, you say that, and then it becomes a vow or a decision. It becomes encoded. If there's pain, there has to be the emotional charge. You have to feel it in the body. And those two times, when you're very ecstatic, high about something, and when you're really traumatic about something, there's been a trauma. However, when we're in the meditative state, which is not traumatic, which is actually renewing and healing, you can also shift because it has the expanded vibratory quality to it. The vibration is very high. So you can actually shift patterns when you're in that state. So the five-step emotional clearing process is a process that assists people to get in, first of all, to know what's blocking them, what's blocking their divine unfoldment, what's blocking their path. Well, it's usually emotions. It's an energy in motion. It's a stuck state or a vow or a belief, a decision that they made, and that's now subconscious, because we attract by what subconsciously is within us, not by what we're consciously saying or on a cognitive or just an everyday level, a beta level. There's no juice for that.
There's no limitation to this clearing process, right? I mean, it clears blocks for prosperity, health, relationships.
Oh, exactly. Everything. That's what the thing, though. All my tools that I've developed or that have come through me, divinely come through me, can be used for anything. I mean, the meditative state, once you're in that state, see, that's what I realized. I thought, oh, my God, it doesn't matter. I mean, I even did, like, depossession work. I mean, it's not in my belief system, but if something's in someone's belief system and I'm in that state, I can assist them with whatever they're believing. So in all my travels, my research, my study, what I realized was it's all the same anyways. Once you're there, once you're in that meditative state, it's up to that person what they want to do with it. Do they just want to marinate in divine love? Do they want to just feel the oneness? Or now they're in that state, maybe they want to do a forgiveness meditation. Maybe they want to contemplate where they are. Maybe they want to receive divine guidance. Open to their psychic channel.
This clearing process is on a subconscious level.
Well, it goes subconscious, but then you go into your expanded or, if you will, God consciousness. The subconscious becomes what I found, it's like a barrier or a block. Mm-hmm. Now, what's beautiful, what I love about this work, is there's no making anyone wrong, there's no judgment, because we don't keep a pattern or belief that didn't at one time work.
Yes.
Because we're basically, you know, species about survival. where it becomes an issue or a problem is in the present, it's no longer working because we either have different needs and wants or different goals, or, and the bigger really issue is that we've left that old environment. So really what the five-step emotional process is doing is teaching people how to tap in to that part of the mind that created that vow, that belief, or that decision in the first place, or took it on as truth, claiming it as so, and use that. And usually it's always about love. It's about getting more love, receiving love, or giving love, really. It's about trying not to be separate.
Absolutely. And how long does this process take, usually, average?
You mean per session?
Yes, per session, the clearing process.
Yeah, it could be hour and a half. People, if they do it on their own, like I do it in my head. If I get triggered with something, I know how to go back. In the beginning, you know, people really need to, you know, sit with it or lie down and then journal, you know, get in a receptive state or you know, just be in a place where they feel safe. It depends on the person and how open and receptive they are. It's just like anything else, how long a pattern will actually be cleared. I mean, I've seen people clear a pattern in one session, you know. Typically six to eight, but it depends how ingrained it is for someone. You know, I'll just share with you briefly a woman that I worked with. I think she was somewhere between, I think she was 50, 53, had never been married, dated a lot, wasn't working out. So she came to me and we did the clearing work. And when we went back, she saw she had made a decision. It was like 20, 25 years previously. She had a really bad breakup. She was supposed to get married. She was engaged. And it was so painful and so traumatic. She created, and this woman had, I mean, amazing intention. I mean, she was very, you know, I call her type AA. She had made a vow, I will never do that again. I'll never go there again. It was so strong that every time she went to a certain level, which was, by the way, the same level or similar level that she went to in this previous relationship, the relationships would just dismantle. We, I think, worked together, I don't know, 3-4 weeks maybe. Could have been a month or two, actually. Within 6 months, she met someone, they got married, and she's still married. It just, boom. It was that vow, that decision that she made, and there was enough emotional pain there, an emotional trauma that, what we call it locked in place as a survival mechanism. So her inner psyche took it on as, you will never go there. Because, you know, you don't want to get hurt, or, you know, so you create something subconsciously, and maybe in that moment that was right to say that with that person.
Right.
So all the person is doing is they're using their own state, their own mind, their own psyche to undo, to release that and then create. And this is very important with anybody doing emotional clearing work. Once you clear something, you need to put something in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Put a new battery.
A new battery, yes. Yes. And I always say in a flexible way that you can change this vow or decision when you're in a meditative state. Because we don't want to change vows or decisions. We don't want to do it just in our surface mind because that's so limited, but we want to get in that meditative state of expanded awareness so that all our decisions are for the greatest good, even the good that we can't yet see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Michelle, I have a question. For example, 8 years ago, I broke my ankle. I twisted my ankle and I broke it. And ever since then, occasionally, the same ankle
yes.
I twist.
Yes!
Same right
yes.
ankle
yes.
for 8 years. Yes. Off and on, I twist,
yeah.
I twist. It gets swollen. I'm in pain. You know, I work on it, and it's better. You know, I do healing on it, intuitive healing on it, and I go to physical therapy. Then again, 2 months later, again, the same ankle. What do you think?
Well, you know why? And that's the five-step emotional clearing addresses this. Because, see, everything that's ever happened to us gets encoded on a cellular level. It has that memory, so then it has that predisposition. So it's on a cellular level, but it's on a DNA level, as well as what we call the energetic matrix. So now within the cellular level, the DNA strand is adjusted to have that propensity or that experience or that reality there. And then energetically, it's held in place. So there's an energetic blueprint. So all you need to do is get in that meditative state and go back to that situation. Clear, see if there's any little bit of trauma that, or thought or an idea about that situation, right?
Right, right.
And then go before. Then once that's there, you locate any little trauma or little emotion, any little something that's left there, you just want to address that,
mm-hmm.
okay, and shift that, maybe bring that indwelling presence there. And then this is very important. Go beyond, go earlier, before you had that incident with the ankle.
Yes.
And bring that blueprint forward.
Mm-hmm. Before the incident.
Before the incident.
When it was whole. Yes.
I worked with quite a bit of athletes that have had the same thing, and we've done that through the meditative state, or you want to call hypnosis, hypnotherapy, self-hypnosis, whatever. But you go back to the time that didn't happen, because that original blueprint is there in the ethers. It's there in the pranic field, if you will. It's there in the Akashic record, if you will.
Yes.
So you need to just bring that forward and place that back there in that ankle. That's why in the five-step emotional clearing process, one of the parts of the process is this is cleared on a multidimensional, multicellular level, all the way to the DNA and energetic matrix.
To the root.
And I got to tell you something. Oh, I got to share this with you because what I found, I got goosebumps on this, from doing this work, what happens is the very deep level or the root that at some point everyone gets to in this path of awakening through this clearing work is the original separation.
Mm-hmm.
When we fell from grace, just the oneness, when we incarnated, when we separated out as an emanation, there is a space there. So there was a perception when we came in embodiment. There was a perception of separation. Once we clear that we're no longer separate, our life completely transforms. That's where the breakups are. That's why the emotional body is wonderful. We need those energies in motion. We need that passion. It's the stuck stakes of the energy in motion or the emotions or taking them on and thinking the emotions are us. The emotions create separation. Feelings are just senses. You know, we have a feeling about something. But when we have emotions, anxiety, fear, even happiness, we are going into the law of polarity, the law of duality. We're going in the third dimension where we're separating out. So in this emotional clearing work, you get back to the space of that oneness that even though we express as emanations of the light, we still are the light. We are the ocean, yet we're the drop in the ocean.
Absolutely. Michelle, and how can our listeners and the people get in touch with you if they need your support in clearing their dormant emotions?
Unfolding more,
pattern.
Becoming more themselves.
Huh?
Becoming more themselves, unfolding. They can email me, you know, at michelle@selfandlight.com. They can email, they can call 310-822-0048. Or just, you know, they can go to my website, feel it out, see if it's, you know, something, or maybe something they've heard. If they feel so called. You know, my website is very informational, so you get an idea. Kind of my headspace, where I'm coming from, my journey, my path, my vision. But there's also things that they can, you know, either download, print out, that they can just have some process. There's processes there that they can have. They can also go, I do have a website on MySpace, and they can get, if they want to just taste test the meditations, there's, I think it's a three count breath, fulfillment, and one other meditation that they can download for free, for gratis, mm-hmm. if they want to get a little, taste test, a little taste. And I think it's MySpace and then / Michelle Mache.
Michelle, do you have any seminars, workshops, anything coming up that we can inform the listeners?
Well, I have been.
Magnificent work.
Yeah.
No, honestly, you have so much to offer to humanity. It's amazing.
Thank you. Oh, I know. I feel so blessed. You know, I really, I mean, the call, you know, all I did, and you said in your earlier, in your writing about the call, you know, and that's it. I heard the call and I just listened. I responded to the call, you know, the voice. That's what guides me. I've been very blessed the last year to be teaching at the Agape Spiritual Center in Culver City, and probably a lot of people know it now because of, you know, Reverend Michael Beckwith has been on The Secret on the DVD, and I don't know if in the book or whatever, but he's an amazing aware light being, emanation of light himself. So I was asked by the dean of the school there to teach meditation. So I teach meditation. I also teach manifesting your life's destiny and living your soul's purpose. Because that's the thing you asked earlier about, you know, resonance, looking at the resonance or what's coming to you. That, I would say, is the next piece that we're all going to address as spiritual beings on this path, on this earth plane, is the soul. We're just getting to the spirit. We worked a lot on, you know, the body. We worked on the, you know, emotions, even more body, you know, with yoga coming in, having that focus of body, mind, spirit, what feeds your spirit. People are knowing what spirituality is, but the soul, that's where our true fulfillment is going to come in, when we know what is our soul's purpose. And it's not something we do, it's the consciousness of how we do it. There's an awareness there. There is a divine imprint of your individuality, doing something that individually suits you and that you love to do. I call it your tickle. Find your tickle. You know, what makes your heart sing. So that's the next step. I mean, that's the piece I feel that's missing in things like The Secret, is that, and it definitely has its place. It's got a lot more people listening and, you know, tuning in and turning within. But not everyone's going to manifest the same thing. You have to find out what is your soul's purpose this lifetime. And that's where your fulfillment comes in, and that's where you start seeing what's resonating towards you, and that's when you enact that law of magnetic attraction. Because you can only activate the law of magnetic attraction. You can't really use it, because it's magnetic. You have to be receptive or open to it. And that's by looking and seeing what is emerging through you. What is being drawn to you? What doors are opening? That's another way. What's opening? Don't go where it's not open.
You're so beautiful. It's unfortunate our time is almost up. And for the listeners, Michelle has, as you can tell, so much to offer.
Thank you, Michelle.
So much experience. And I invite everybody to look her up on her website, www.selfinlight.com, and her radio program, Awakenings. When is that?
Awakenings is every Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's on Cosmic Dimensions Radio, cosmicdimensions.com.
Thank you very much. Again, Michelle is the author of Meditation for Everyday Living book. She's a host of Awakenings radio program. She has so much to offer. Check out her website. She's really, I mean, a really beautiful, I'm just getting the vibes as I'm sitting here, beautiful soul. You know, I told you this before. It just comes to me from somewhere, from intuition, that you're a saint. And I think you were a saint in one of your past lives or something. I don't know.
Oh.
It just comes to me. Saints, you know, saints are everywhere, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that you are one, and I'm blessed to know you. I'm blessed that you are on this show. I'm grateful. And so any message that you have for our listeners before we close?
Just love. Love you. Love you. Just be love. Express love and know you are love. No matter what you're going through in your life, look beyond the surface. Just be love. You are love.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you,
Michelle. And you just went right into the closing. Bless you. Thank you very much.
Lots of love.
And that's Infinite Love Radio for this week. As Michelle said, be love. Next week on our show, we will be having Dr. Aaron Orpelli of West Olympic Chiropractic in Beverly Hills. He developed a unique approach to chiropractic care, incorporating nutrition, exercise, and chiropractic adjustments as a preventive methodology. And so really excited about him. Thank you, Michelle. For now, I invite you to breathe in infinite life, infinite love into every cell in your body. And breathe out infinite love and give it to the whole world, for we are all one. And don't forget to visit our website at www.infiniteloveradio.com and download free guided meditations and insights. I invite you to contribute to oneness on the planet by supporting my nonprofit organization called Cause Oneness. We're having a fundraising to raise money for the homeless November 11th. Please visit www.causeoneness.org for more information. Your presence and contribution counts for humanity. Trust me, you are important. I'm Michelle Morovati. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your light. I invite you to just be present, as Michelle invited us to be in a meditative state, to be aware and observant of who we are and all of our surroundings, and breathe our life force. And for this, thank you, bless you, until next week. Good day.